Tomorrow on Science Friday, join guest host David Kestenbaum for our annual Spring Bug Show. What good are bugs anyway? That's tomorrow on Talk of the Nation. And now for another rite of spring, and that is baseball. Think back to the year 1998 when the New York Yankees won an incredible 125 games. The cap of the season was their World Series sweep against the San Diego Padres. And here's right fielder Paul O'Neill the night they won.
Everybody said if we don't win a world championship, then the season was a bust. Well, we added this to everything, and it's been an unbelievable year for us.
1998 was also the last year that Paul O'Neill's father watched him play the full season. Chick O'Neill was Paul's greatest influence and his inspiration on and off the baseball field. The following season, Paul O'Neill took the field during the last game of the World Series, just hours after his father passed away. That morning at breakfast, his mom said, "He would want you to play tonight." That night, the Yankees won. Paul left the field unable to celebrate fully. He couldn't pick up the phone and celebrate with Chick O'Neill on the other end. Paul O'Neill writes about that night and the role that his dad played in his life in a new book, Me and My Dad. He joins us now from our bureau in New York, and welcome to Talk of the Nation.
How you doing?
If you all out there would like to join our conversation, give us a phone call about fatherhood and baseball. If you'd like to talk with Paul O'Neill, our phone number is 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK. And Paul O'Neill, who's this book for?
Well, it was for a lot of reasons. I mean, I was introduced to doing books, obviously, through my whole career with the Yankees, and just wasn't interested in it at that point. I wanted to play baseball and go home and not worry about the things that go along. But afterwards, you're introduced with ideas, and everybody, not unique, growing up with the Little League ties with my dad and all the way back to Little League, and just what great memories that was. And that's basically what this book is about, is just that special relationship that kids and their father have at that time of their life.
Your dad was a minor league player?
Yeah, he was a minor league player and had a chance to do some things, and then was called away to the service, unlike a lot of people at that time, and lost years, but lived with that and wasn't bitter about it, and came back and got to live some dreams through his kids.
Your sister, you describe her in the book as saying, some kids were raised Lutheran or Baptist. You guys were raised baseball.
Well, we grew up with a large family on a road that we had land in the back, and there weren't a lot of kids to play with. So basically, the games in our backyard were what we did day in and day out. And depending on what season it was, that's what we were doing in the backyard.
And your sister, and again, she now writes for the New York Times, so no inconsistent observer here, but said that you had to learn to bat from the age of two, or otherwise your older brothers would have used you for second base.
Well, if you're the youngest, to compete with your older brothers, obviously you have to play a little bit over your head and to be part of the game. And it's very competitive. Anybody that has played anything against their older brothers knows how competitive it is. And, there were fights and everybody cheated. But, by dinner time, you live down who lost and got to redeem yourself the next day.
I got a chance to spend some time with some ball players for a couple of years. And I was amazed at the number of them who said, my older brother was really a much better player than I was.
And as you... I would say the same thing. I mean, because you look at the people you respect and the people you idolize, and as the smallest kid, you're watching your brothers play in junior high and high school, and you're still in elementary school, and they seem like idols to you. You seem like you'll never be able to get to the point in your life where you're able to do the things they are. And it's funny at these. I've had some book signings lately, and the people that come up to me have the same ideas. I mean, I got to live out the dream playing in the major leagues, but everybody has these ideas going back to their childhood. How important these Little League games were, how important these times were just growing. I mean, to live now and look back at what impacted your life, these are neat thoughts.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that you write about is the incredible impatience you had when you were in the minor leagues and fearing you'd never get the call. And describe for us what it was like when it actually came.
Well, you're drafted out of high school, and the first thing you think is, from high school, a couple games in the minor leagues, and I'm ready for the major leagues. And
that's right.
It's such a slow process because, you have to be conditioned and learn the game all over again, and you have to compete at a level that you're not used to doing. I mean, you come out of high school being fairly successful, and then you're thrown into with a group of kids that basically have done the same things you have. And I think they do a lot of weeding out, and then it's, you know, a matter of who gets the breaks and who stays healthy. And when you finally do get that call, I tell you, it's something to really remember.
Who was the first person you called afterwards?
Well, my parents. Obviously, you grab the phone and you just can't wait because, you know, you've gone through your whole life to envision this dream, and all of a sudden it's there, and, you know, I'll never forget that day.
There is an impression that some people have, and you talk about it also in the book, but, you know, the idea of all of those guys in the minor leagues who, you know, maybe were a step slow or maybe had an injury or didn't get the break. If you never made it out of the minor leagues, would you have considered yourself a failure as a ball player?
Yeah. I mean, because since I was 5 and 6 years old, I never saw myself. I mean, everybody pictures themselves getting older and what they're going to do. I never saw myself doing anything other than playing baseball. I mean, that was what I did. And at 4 and 5 years old, I was out in the backyard, you know imitating what the guys, you know, Pete Rose and guys like I grew up watching. I mean, that's what I did. And that's, you know, the dream. Like I said, I got to live those dreams out. But as I look back, so many people had these same dreams and same things, and they were doing on the Little League field, they were dressing up like their favorite players. And that's basically why I did this, not to have a book that, you know, would bring you down, but just to bring back those great memories of growing up and idolizing players and trying to become these things.
Our phone number again, 800-989-8255. And let's go to Adam, who joins us on the line from San Diego.
Hi, how are you?
How are you?
Good.
Great. I just wanted to comment one thing was that I got my kids in Little League this year, 8 and 10, and I did this after learning really that they can't play baseball at school or really anywhere else. I mean, it's hard to find fields these days. Pickup games don't happen very often, and Little League is just about the only place where they can actually play baseball since the bats are considered weapons at schools. So, you know, fewer people are kind of experiencing this joy, and that really worried me, which is why I got my kids in Little League. So I wanted to hear your comments on that.
Well, it's so sad, too, because as you look back, so many other things are going on. I mean, there's so many other sports. They're putting pressure on so many kids to make their decisions at 5 and 6 years old of what they want to do and what sport they want to play year-round. And you kind of get away of, I mean, let's face it, sports are supposed to be fun, especially when you're 10 years old. It's not supposed to be a pressure situation. I mean, obviously your reward at the end of the game is stopping and getting a milkshake on the way home, but still, it's supposed to be fun, competitive. Learn what winning and losing is, but have the kids have fun out on the field.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more.
Do you
thanks for your book.
Thanks for the call, Adam. Do your kids play Little League, Paul?
Yeah, they do. I mean, as I look at it, I mean, we definitely run full circle here. I'm doing the same things that my dad did growing up. And that's the neat thing, that it continues to go on. You know, the father-son thing in baseball has gone on for generations.
Do you coach the team?
No, I don't. I try to stay away where the kids are not pressured into doing any more than they can, and just I'm much more comfortable sitting under an old tree in the shade and just watching the teams play.
It might be tough for their manager, too, to know that there's a former major leaguer over there.
Well, sometimes you're a little harder on your own kids as you would be other players, so it's easier just to sit back and relax and watch.
We're speaking with retired now ball player Paul O'Neill. His new book is Me and My Dad, a baseball memoir. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And now let's go to Will, and he joins us on the line from Boston, Massachusetts.
Hi, guys. Hi, Paul.
Boston. I don't know. Do we want to take this call here?
Well, you're getting friendly fire. I grew up in upstate New York. I'm a longtime Yankee fan, and I admired you as a player, and I really admired your competitive spirit. My question, having been coached by my father in Little League, was did Chick ever give you a hard time about bashing in the occasional water cooler or throwing a helmet or anything like that?
You know, he saw so many tantrums in the backyard that I think they almost came accustomed to him. And it was just the way that myself and my brothers vented it, I guess. I don't know. Everybody's wired a little bit different. But like I said, in the backyard there were fights and arguments daily. So it was just a matter of, you know, who won the game.
Those images of you bashing up water coolers and slamming down helmets became famous, Paul O'Neill. Did you ever see tape of yourself doing that?
Yeah, I mean, obviously there are some things out there that you're not proud about, but I mean, when you put your whole life into something and you know, you believe in what you're doing, there are often times that you just can't believe, you know, you failed. And baseball is such a game of learning to deal with failure because, let's face it, there's a lot of ups and downs in a season. And I guess I wasn't one of the better players to watch it at learning how to deal with it.
Will, thanks very much. Let's go now to Ted, and Ted's with us from Portland, Oregon.
Yes. I just was going to make a quick comment that me and my dad, I'm 23 years old, my dad and I have been watching baseball together for a long time, and that's like a turning point in a relationship for a father and son, is being able to watch. And I was just wondering if, for Paul, if it made his relationship with his dad better as time went on.
Well, I got to live, you know, out a dream I had since I was 4 or 5 years old. But I can still remember, I mean, the first major league game that my dad and I went to in Crosley Field in Cincinnati. I mean, these things are, you know, you just don't realize how important they are at that time of your life. And looking back at Little League games, just remembering how important it was to win the tournament that year and to play under the lights. It was like the major leagues. And at that time in your life, I mean, those games are just as important as the Yankee games, you know, 20 years later. And that's, I say that very sincerely.
And thank you so much for showing such passion in the game.
All right, thank you.
Thanks for the call, Ted. You describe your father as a very outgoing guy, and I have to say, very different in terms of personality from you. You were always a lot shyer.
Yeah, there's no doubt that personalities in families are sometimes different. And my dad was the ultimate optimist, which a lot of the kids weren't. But again, he always saw the good out of something, and how it was going to be a better tomorrow. And I always thought it was just, you know, what a father was supposed to say to a son. But now, as you look back, I mean, it's a lot of the things he said were very profound.
Mm-hmm. Let's go to, I hit the wrong button. Let's go to John, who's on the line from Augusta, Georgia.
Yeah, hi, Paul.
How are you?
My angle was that, you know, I've had this ongoing debate with a lot of women about the movie Field of Dreams and, you know, the boy who gets to go back and have this special moment with his father. And, you know, I think it's something that males kind of hide the tear in the corner of their eyes. But the women that I talked about it say, you know, it's pathetic that these people get this time together that most don't have, and they stand 40 yards away and throw a ball with no communication about real things. And I was hoping that maybe you could comment on, you know, what is the bond that's formed? Is it, you know, is there some nonverbal bond that this brings males together or anything like that?
Well, I think that, no matter what level you played on, I mean, you see yourself, getting the big hit, getting the home run. And then all of a sudden, you know, you pass that down to your kids. And everybody has that opportunity at one time or another in their life to do the things that the major leaguers do and to dream about playing in the big, you know, the big stadiums. And it was funny, at a signing yesterday, I talked to a lady who said, you know, I read this book. I played softball. I had the same relationship with my father. So it's just not the father-son. It can be many other things. It could be taking an instrument lesson. It could be, you know, reading a book together. But just for some reason, that baseball, that father-son tie is very strong in our society.
Right.
John, thanks very much.
I appreciate it.
And all right.
Paul O'Neill, I have to say it's been a real pleasure to have you on the program.
I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Paul O'Neill, number 21, the former right fielder of the New York Yankees. You can see Paul on the Yes Network from time to time. That's an all-Yankees TV station, if you can imagine such a thing, or in some of our places where you're listening, a stomach such a thing. He's game analyst now. I could get that out. He's also the author of a new book, Me and My Dad, a Baseball Memoir. In Washington, I'm Neil Conan, NPR News.